It's Earth Month.
Oh, yes, it is.
April is Earth Month. What a better month to have this topic for anybody tuning in. This is Bill Lidsey, host of Azure to the Core, along with my co-host,
Shelley Way.
And Sally, are you out there? Because I said I'd call on you.
I'm here.
You're quick on the mute. That was amazing. She's there.
She was ready. She was holding her finger right above the button.
You guys, I feel like you might be watching me.
Yeah.
Maybe. The portal's open. We're watching you.
Welcome, yes, it is. Tom, to the show.
Hello.
Welcome, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
My gosh, we're honored to have you. We're blessed to have you. This is really, really cool.
All the way over from the UK.
Exactly. I couldn't tell. Sorry, I thought I was picking up like an Alabama accent there, but no, you're right. That tracks.
So you will hear, I call it Azure.
Yes.
Azure.
You pronounce it properly.
Say a few other things. Entra ID.
Do you cringe when we say Azure? Do you cringe when we say it?
No,
Azure.
I don't mind. It's cool. I mean, it's a name, isn't it? So really, you should pronounce
it. It's all in a name.
As the name was intended to be said, but I just can't. After I tried, but it doesn't stick. So it's Azure for me.
Maybe you can retrain us to say it correctly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea who actually came up with the name Azure. It must have been months and months of decision making.
Yeah, I bet a marketing company was involved.
Yeah, but it feels kind of weird, though, right now. I mean, you literally just laid a fact on us that here we are hosting a podcast called Azure to the Core.
Right.
It's like, where does that name even come from? Right. I don't know.
We'll find out in the next episode.
Well, let's get to the topic at hand. Let's get to the person at hand first, actually. You know, this is Azure to the Core. We get to know our people first, so. Yeah.
Let's find out a little bit about Tom.
Yeah, other than knowing that he's from the UK.
Yeah, great accent.
Tell us more about yourself. Yeah, of course he does.
Okay, so my name's
Who are Tom you, Tom? Goodman. Who are you?
I'm trying to say.
Okay, sorry. You interrupted. Rude Americans.
So I'm Tom McKiernan. I am from the UK. It's true. It's a real place. And I've been working at Microsoft for a couple of years now, but before that, I've been working with various Microsoft gold partners. And before that, I was working in the industry, so always in that architecture space. And my first introduction to Azure was probably back when it was first came out as Windows Azure, actually.
Oh, I remember.
They did a big name reveal then.
Yeah.
Coincided with one of our server launches, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. That sounds good. It's an operating system for the cloud, right? Yeah, that sounds. I'll have to find out a bit more about that. And then eventually got to the point where my company wanted to start looking at cloud services. I was the Microsoft guy, so here's this little small thing called Azure. So see if you can figure that out. And that's when my journey started, and now it's still going there.
You must have figured it out then.
You can never figure it out. It's always, which is
fantastic. There's more to learn. Really more to learn.
Yeah, that's right.
What industry were you in?
So I've been across retail, hospitality mainly, I would say, but lots of different bits in between. Small businesses, large enterprises. I've been across quite the gamut of different places. Yep. But outside of that, I live kind of just north of London, about an hour north of London or so.
Okay.
And so it's quite a nice kind of almost the countryside I'm in, so I can get a nice view out my window. And I live here with my family, my wife, and my three kids. And they're all adult kids now, so shouldn't call them kids, but they'll always be my kids, aren't they?
It depends on whether they're in trouble or not. I find that when my children do something wrong, they actually are my kid. My wife will say, "Do you know what your son did?"
And when your kids are in trouble, do you use their middle name?
full names, just full names, I think.
Four names.
Yeah, just the full sort of name,
short names, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all it takes.
Interesting.
One stern name calling, and that's mm-hmm. it. It's serious, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very serious. Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you for telling us a little bit about your background. One of the reasons that you had reached out to us about this topic, and you also did an event recently, you did a sustainability workshop or a day in the UK?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we so at Microsoft, there's lots of different sustainability products and services we have that all fall under this banner called Microsoft Cloud for Sustainability. But we also, so we have our product and services side, but then as a Microsoft employee, we like to kind of live sustainability and not just talk about it as if it's some abstract kind of service. So we have a UK chapter of our global sustainability community, and we do lots of kind of different events where we can. We've got a whole kind of week of activities lined up for Earth Weeks. So from April 22nd is Earth Day. We're doing stuff across the whole week and having lots of these little kind of sustainability moments across all sorts of topics. The feature that I was wanting to talk and explain to everyone today was Azure Carbon Optimization, which has only just gone into public preview recently, a few months ago. And it's this new way to look actually inside Azure at your resources and see what equivalent carbon emissions they're causing, so that you can then look to reduce that or improve that or optimize that, so that you reduce exactly the impact your applications are having in Azure. So it's the thing that I like about it is that it is focused on the people that are actually in the portal. They're doing the work. They are maybe building applications or doing kind of data and AI style analytics or machine learning projects. And before this was available, it was all quite abstract. I think if I say to either of you, when you think about being sustainable, you know, what does it mean to you? It probably means something different. So, Bill, how do you try and keep sustainable at home?
Yeah, it's not. You mentioned something. It's not difficult to find colleagues and peers. You know, you reached out to us, but I, you know, all three of us, and you'll find this all across Microsoft. There are tons and tons of people in this company that are involved in some way, shape, or form in some kind of sustainability initiative or recycling or you name it. And I think that's a really kind of a interesting, unique trait about the Microsoft culture that you'll find. And I think it's interesting that you were able to find peers as well, probably pretty easily to do that, to help.
Yeah. I mean, Microsoft's got ambitious like climate targets ourselves. So by 2030, we want to be carbon negative. So a lot of organizations are trying to reach net zero. And we are already kind of looking at how we can go beyond that, go negative. So not just reducing the emissions that we put into the atmosphere, but also going below that. So we're making it actually better than what we're taking out or the impact we're having. And I'm conscious that through this chat, I'll probably use lots of kind of environmental sustainability style terms. And there's a lot of them. If you thought Microsoft had a lot of acronyms, then the world of climate and waste and anything environmental and social and governance, there's an even longer list. And that can be quite scary for someone who's working in IT to be suddenly fronted with all of these new terms that are very, very different to like technical language. It's a lot about kind of government policies and real kind of physical atmospheric terms and scientific terms. So it can be quite daunting.
Yeah, but don't shy away from it.
So if I say anything, you don't understand, just let me know, and I'll call it out.
That's part of the challenge, right?
Yeah.
is that it can be daunting when you think about it, but if you break it down to what does it really mean? It's about being good stewards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we don't want to. The whole reason we kind of talk about climate change is because we've really accelerated the impact that kind of Earthlings have had on the planet. So it's all about trying to scale that back, work in a more sustainable way, so that we're reducing that impact.
Yeah, computing has a massive impact on the planet. Does I mean, a lot of people talk about automobiles and trucks and other industries and smokestacks and things like that, and all the things contributing to climate change. Cows, very popular topic, right? But the amount of computing power that's being built for the technology that the world wants to use now, and even thinking just 5 years from now, it's such exponential growth. It is so huge. I wondered if we ever looked at the reverse side of the coin, and if we've ever said, if we hadn't done anything, imagine we had none of these and no initiatives for neutral, carbon neutral or carbon optimization or reduction. And I'm probably using all wrong terms and stuff, but I'm just trying to say, if we didn't do it, what would have happened? Like, what would our impact have been? And there's three hyperscalers out there building massive computer networks everywhere in the world.
Yeah. It's so a question I often get is, Microsoft are really kind of leading the charge with AI. We've got Azure OpenAI service, and where OpenAI run things like ChatGPT, that's all run on Azure data centers. They take high powered GPUs and lots of big server equipment that takes electricity to run that, water to keep things cool. So there's and then you've got the whole kind of hardware life cycle when that's no longer the best performing bit of server kit out there, and Intel or AMD or Nvidia have come up with some new chips. You don't want to get in the new stuff. We're very fortunate that we have very clever design people in Microsoft that really look at this, and our data centers are already kind of very efficient. And there's a measurement there called kind of power usage efficiency, PUE, you might have heard of it, and that says kind of how well you're using the machines versus the power they take. And we've got industry leading kind of low numbers of that, plus the fact that we are committing to be carbon negative, so already carbon neutral. But if you're running your services on Azure, then you know that you are running them in data center or group of data centers that are going to be a lot more efficient than you could probably ever get to in your offices or in a kind of a much smaller data center footprint, because you don't have that scale and that advanced technology put in place to really optimize that as much as possible.
I'm glad you talked about the data center, because there's one that's close to you, and you talked about the creativity of the underwater data center that we have near Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty fascinating.
It is, yeah. That was it's quite a, it's old in computing terms, but the concept was that let's, as a bit of a test, think a data center under the sea, onto the ocean bed, up in the northern kind of icy waters of Scotland, and see what that does, what we can learn from that in terms of keeping our resources run as cool as possible. Mm-hmm. You can run them cooler, then you can run them faster, and everyone wants everything faster. So yeah, it went down in a nice big shiny container, and then it got pulled back up, covered in barnacles and seaweed. And we've done
it didn't quite look as pretty when it came back up.
No, it didn't. But yeah, we learned a lot from that, and we're not going to start building, all our data centers under the sea. But we've been able to use the learnings from that, to feed into our real data centers. So yeah, really good research project that was. But we're also researching now in things like a green way of producing hydrogen, so that we can power the data centers without. We have a lot of our data centers have wind farms on them or solar farms around them, where we can use that energy ourselves, or we can feed it back into the grid so that the whole kind of metropolitan area can use that energy as well. And there's a physical aspect of it as well. So you might have the concrete or the steel that you've used in constructing the data centers. And when we talk about carbon footprint and carbon emissions, these all fall into different buckets. what's important.
That makes sense. Yeah. You have all the construction materials and stuff that went into it. It's not just after it's built. Yeah. Interesting.
And they're called different scopes. So you have scope 1, 2, and 3. Scope one, scopes. So you have an emission scope.
Oh, scopes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Look at me go. I thought you said Skypes. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm down to 1,000 a day, folks.
Yeah. So scope one is your direct greenhouse gases that your organization is causing. So that might be generators you have, or your own kind of vehicle fleet. If you're a big logistics company and you were moving lots of diesel kind of trucks around the place, and that would count because that's those emissions, those carbons going directly into the atmosphere because of what your business exists on. Scope two is about your emissions that are indirect. So they probably come from the electricity that provides the place that provides your electricity. That has caused emissions somewhere from a power plant, unless it's 100% renewable. And that's scope two. And they're kind of easy to get to grips with because they're in direct control of the organization, what electricity supply they use, or how much kind of direct on-site kind of fuel combustion they do. The tricky bit is scope three, because that's all of your value chain and all of your suppliers, and thinking to get that one server racked up in an Azure data center, that's gone through procurement systems, it's gone from the manufacturers of the chips and all the different pieces that fabricate it together. Someone's driven it somewhere and installed it. And so that is the kind of complex bit, because lots of data in different formats. For our customers at Microsoft, that's where their cloud usage falls into. If you're an organization, Contoso, and you're using Azure, then your usage of Azure would fall into that scope three bucket, because we're part of that supply chain.
That's where all the dominoes had to fall before. So many. One hits the other, right? And then contributes to that ultimate thing. That's got to be a very difficult thing to manage. So I would imagine it's amazing how many different kind of roles and stuff are probably involved in all of this. I think about some of the relationships that we have to have, not just with the energy companies, not with just environmental groups, but also, you know, you mentioned material suppliers, and then each one of the bit of suppliers or everything that goes into all the things that are made that then go into the hardware that makes up that data center. It's quite astounding. And then wrapped around the whole thing, you've got a very complex global relationship system with governments, right? Different governments, different compliance standards, governments having different standards, the EU, you know, thinking about things differently than sometimes maybe the US does. So it's got to be, I can't imagine all the complexities of it from just a relationship network standpoint.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that's why you need like a technology solution to help you keep up to date with the standards, to do things like if your electricity bill's coming in as a PDF email attachment from your supplier, someone might have to manually transpose that, could cause a mistake, and then you're basing your annual report that you're publishing on your website on all of your emissions is going to have this kind of human error in the chain somewhere. So with Microsoft Cloud Sustainability, we have Microsoft Sustainability Manager, and that helps to get all of that data in, normalize it, so you can then report on one metric, which is your carbon dioxide equivalent. And emissions are lots of different types of emissions, but the kind of the general rule is that people convert everything into carbon dioxide equivalents, so that there's just one number and you can kind of match like for like across different sources. So everyone's kind of looking at the same numbers and understands it in the same way.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this is where Microsoft really comes in to help, because when you think about all the relationships and things that I said, it's, you know, very difficult for us to even have. And I know that we employ people across all ways of life, all those things that I talked about. We can't ask each one of our customers to have to carry those relationships as well. You know, I mean, I'm sure some are very large and probably have their own, you know, outside of computing sustainability efforts and stuff, but this is where we're really helping with some of the software and the portals and dashboards and things that we're delivering now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. For a while, we've had something called the Emissions Impact Dashboard, and that was a Power BI app. It's very easy to install and kind of set up for your organization, but you could load up that Power BI app, connect it to your Azure tenant or your Microsoft 365 tenant as well, and you could see what those, for what you use in Azure, the equivalent emissions. So then you could put that into your reporting. So that was really good for organizations that have sustainability kind of managers or a chief sustainability officer, or, you know, have those business units that kind of know what to do with that information and how to report on it. But it never really went deep enough for the people who are creating it in the first place, the IT admins, the devs, to see, well, that's everything in Azure. What's my one bit that I've kind of impacted? And this is where Azure Carbon Optimization comes in.
The optimizer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's in public preview now, so anyone can access it. So if you've got an Azure portal, go into the search bar, type in carbon optimization, and you'll be brought to this new experience. And that's the first kind of great bit about it, is that it's in the Azure portal. So it's not a separate Power BI app that you'd have to have open on another screen and kind of think to look there. It's in the portal where you're working. So if it's talking about a resource, you'll be able to click through, see that resource, and actually make some changes to it.
Nice.
So Tom, if it's in preview, have you seen it in action with any customers? Like, what kind of feedback are you seeing so far?
Yeah, so customers really like that level of visibility that they get from it. You get, there's three main areas that are part of it. There's your emission trends, which is kind of the equivalent of what the Emissions Impact Dashboard provided. It's your overall kind of broad trends across your whole Azure tenants, and you can narrow it down by subscription and resource group, or by that kind of scope 1, 2, and 3 bucket that I was telling you about. But that's showing your trends over 12 months. So in this public preview stage, we're reporting back on like 12 months of usage. And it doesn't start the first time you go into the portal. It can see back and read from it.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, you should see some history in there straight away when you go in. But then the next bit is where you dive deeper into the emissions details section. So this is where I can see across at a service level. So I could look at, I could say, right, I just want to look at virtual machines because I'm the virtual machine administrator.
Right.
And you will see then what subscriptions have got the virtual machines that are causing the most emissions.
Nice. So it's kind of like drilling through, like just like you would drill through cost management to detailed levels, right? It's kind of, I think of it kind of the same way. So, then I can go all the way through to the service level and find out exactly how much the specific storage attached to the specific container is costing me.
Yeah.
Same on the sustainability side. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can view it by location as well. So you might be just responsible for maybe your region's resources. So you're not so bothered about what the resource is, but in your region, what's in your remit, you want to see what's being caused there. So yeah, you can drill down on that. And that, what you said about cost management, that was exactly the kind of feedback we were getting of why the Emissions Impact Dashboard wasn't suitable for the operators and for the engineers and for the IT managers. The
final piece. Yeah, I was just going to say, because just like how with the cost management, then that usually starts to involve someone on the business side of the organization, your cloud broker, or, you know, whoever it is that is in charge of and looking at the budgets and forecasting and things like that for cost. And the same way, this would be a great way to, wouldn't really be an operator function, but it would be something that you would parcel out to a sustainability officer or someone else.
Yeah. It's exactly the same concept. So before we had cost optimization as a separate portal, you could get it to email you like the spreadsheet of all of your costs, get this big flat file of all of your costs and have to drill through it. So it was very much like the accounting or the procurement or the finance department would look at that data. It's very hard for an IT person to see it. Brought that into the portal, and then suddenly your IT teams are becoming more cost aware of the impact that their resources are having on their budget. The same plan and idea really applies to this something that was quite hard to see at first is now within the portal, so everyone's kind of empowered to make smarter choices. And this is just like early days for Azure Carbon Optimization. It's in this area in the portal, but we're going to start bringing the information all throughout kind of every stage of the journey with Azure. So that's if you're cool. deploying a new VM, as well, yeah. Say this VM would cost you X amount of dollars. It will say it will also cause, you know, this many emissions over this month. So you can kind of compare like for like before you deploy it, because you know you want to be treating it before you do something right. Like deep, rather than afterwards.
Yeah.
our Azure Migrate tool as well is going to bring that information straight in front of customers as well. So
oh, really?
If you're looking at maybe a certain application workload group that you think you're migrating, or your whole data center environment, then Azure Migrate will kind of show you as part of the assessment what that means from a sustainability impact. Oh,
sustainability impact forecasting.
Mm-hmm.
Just made up a term. I don't know if that's actually a thing. I'm just excited we got to an analogy with the cost management, because Shelley knows that I'm so dumb that until we really get to a good analogy, I don't understand what we're talking about. So.
I love analogies. I would never call you dumb. I'd never do that.
That's one of the things I really like.
Pretty sure I never said that.
Co-pilot for actually is coming up with analogies. I didn't think to do one of this.
Co-pilot feature.
It comes up with some clever ideas.
Love that.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more, because I, you know, it's great podcasts. We know that we're audio, mm-hmm. but people might start visualizing things. I was thinking, do we have some videos and stuff out there? I bet our friend John Saville probably has some videos on this because he's for a video producing machine and has just the absolute best stuff out there. But yeah, are there some things that we've published that you can go and look?
Yeah, we love John, but he does get to steal all the glory because he had the demo in the can as soon as it went public preview and it hit publish on YouTube.
He jumped on it.
And his overview was up there.
Oh, absolutely.
What's quite nice about, there is a John Saville video on YouTube called Reducing Your Cloud Carbon Footprint with Azure Carbon Optimization, and it's only 10 minutes.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
It's such a simple feature. It's kind of obvious as soon as you look at it. Mm. The one area that I didn't talk about was the emission reductions section. Lots of people are familiar with Azure Advisor.
Yeah.
And it uses the well-architected framework to tell you recommendations on security or reliability or cost optimization. So the emissions reductions section is your Azure Advisor for sustainability. And as I said, at the moment, that's kind of tucked into the carbon optimization section, but it's going to start showing up with all of the other Azure Advisor recommendations too, we hope, in a future version. So that is then showing you, amongst all of the noise that might be going on in a tenant, what your top reduction opportunities are going to be, so that you can really focus any improvements or optimizations you make on those, like the dirtiest resources, I'll call them, so the one biggest problems. And
I picture them all just covered with like coal and
they're not really dirty resources.
Like 1920s street rats just running around.
Yeah,
yeah. Just dirtying up your data center. Yeah.
Yeah. Barnacles.
So you don't want to spend a lot of time refactoring an Azure application from a carbon savings point of view if actually there's this other thing chugging along and we can see that it's underutilized. It's maybe a scale set, but it never scales, or it may be a really big VM that hasn't seen any data for the last kind of month or so. So it's bringing those recommendations in so that you can straight away get that advice. So I'm looking at one now in front of me I've got, and it's saying you've got a virtual machine scale set and we recommend that you delete this because there's been no scaling happened.
That's awesome.
Now that might be for a reason, and like with all of our advisor recommendations, some advice based on maybe what we've seen kind of amalgamated from all of our customers or our own experience. So you then need to go and check it out and say, right, who owns this application? Is it meant to be scaling? Is it not meant to be scaling? What can we do to improve that situation? And like we have those well-architected frameworks for security and reliability. In the other categories, there is now documentation about how you can have well-architected framework for sustainability. So on our doc site, you can look at the WAF pages, and there's a sustainability section there. And it tells you how you can design or improve your services with that kind of sustainability mindset in mind. Because we want to, what we see like really customers and businesses that are really mature with sustainability is they have had it as part of their business kind of strategy and their business objectives. So that then falls to all the employees to kind of help support those business objectives. And they're designing things with sustainability in mind, sometimes called the triple bottom line or PPP, where it's not just about profit, but it's about the planet and it's about our people as well. Because in the wider
remit, terms.
We're
up with a new acronym.
Because as well as the people is kind of the other aspect of environmental and social governance, which is where kind of all these falls into in the United Nations sustainability goals that include that whole aspect as well. I was reading, we published an article recently about our new data centers that are being built in the UK, or we're hoping to get built soon. And that talks about how we work with the local communities to help make sure that we're not impacting things in a negative way for the people that live nearby. We're making that a better place for them, job opportunities, new skills for the people in that area. So there's lots of, I've been talking all today about carbon emissions because it's this new Azure Carbon Optimization service. But we really try and look across like every aspect of ESG that there is out there. And in fact, if I can just tease one more feature.
You may.
So now that in the portal you've got all this really rich data, you can, the IT person can focus on that data and deal with it. But actually maybe it needs to be fed in and combined with data from other sources, other applications, so that you've got that whole organizational picture. You might be multi-cloud, so you've got different emissions data in different places. You might be hybrid, so you've got your hybrid emissions somewhere else. They're not visible in the Azure portal yet. Hopefully we can kind of build in some of that with Arc or similar technology to help with that. But Microsoft is never going to know where your on-prem electricity is coming from unless you were saying them. So you need somewhere to kind of put all of this data. And in Azure Carbon Optimization, it's got a very handy couple of buttons. One's a data export, so that you can take all of that data out as an Excel file and put it where you want to go. But the even slicker one is that there's a Microsoft Fabric button.
Oh.
And so that will integrate the stats and data you've got in Azure Carbon Optimization into a sustainability data lake. And it has all the reports on there, so you can combine it and slice and dice it however you need to with all of that, the rest of that information.
A million ways from Sunday, right?
And that's when it becomes really transformative, because you can see, like, well, actually we've got, so if you're a supermarket, you might have an app for your supermarket. And you can bring in all the data and telemetry from that app usage with all of your customer and store data. So you combine that all together in a kind of sustainable data lake schema. Really, really make improvements like for your business.
Because a lot of customers, a lot of industries are either asked or required, or through their own transparency practices, to bring that entire sustainability story across the organization into one single report. Mm-hmm. Correct. I assume. Yeah, I think I've seen them. Yeah. So.
It's most. It used to be kind of like the top, not quite the FTSE 100, but there was kind of megacorp limit you had to reach in most countries before you have to report, you're forced to report on your emissions impact. But now with the EU directives and UK directives, and countries all over the world are doing the same, it's going to start to cover more organizations of a much smaller size. But what we
more
like
pressure.
To, but what we like to kind of just remind people is you should just be more sustainable for sustainability's sake. Not because there's some kind of audit pressure, or you think it looks good. You know, it's always a net good outcome if you're thinking about how you can work and live and play all in a more sustainable way.
Right. It's not like, you know, making sure that somebody sees that you gave or whatever, right? Shouldn't be about that. It's not about should do it because I'll only live on this planet probably not that much longer. I'm aging rapidly, as we discussed in the green room before the podcast. Sally, I love how you're just coming in with comments on the chat. Mother Earth loves you, Tom. This is great. It's like we've got a real live thing going.
Sally, what's up, Sally?
I just wanted to say, Tom, Mother Earth does love you. You're getting all the love from Mother Earth, especially this month, you know, being Earth Month. And you know, what you're talking about is something that people strive to do just even in their personal lives, to leave a smaller footprint, you know, take good care of nature and not to go all crazy about it. But, you know, everybody can just do a little bit of a little part. And for companies to be able to see, hey, wow, we are really leaving a big footprint here. What can we do to decrease that? Or in turn, wow, we're doing a really good job. Let's pat ourselves on the back. We're doing a great job with, you know, our company. And I would imagine as you're talking to customers out there, that's something they may not be thinking about, but what a great, I don't know, bonus, right? Mm-hmm. What a great bonus to bring up with your customers. Like, hey, we have this ability. You can go take a look at it. You can take action if you need to, or sit back and celebrate what a great job you're doing.
I think
it's very impactful for the customers. I would imagine for me, it is. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it definitely helps to keep it part of the conversation. We can all feel, I think at home, we feel like we're like recycling or something. We think, is it really going to make a difference if I put this one like plastic bottle in the wrong bin, or if I leave my tap running for too long? Like, you can get really, really focused on kind of your individual impact, which is great, because that's actually how things start to change. It's like lots of individuals taking action.
That's right.
And not, there's a thing called climate anxiety, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. This is where, like, instead of panicking, there really is constructive things you can do to help out and help make your little dent in your part, because you can imagine if all of our customers suddenly tuned their environments, we wouldn't have to build as many data centers or as many big data centers. Microsoft are covering and paying the earth back for that with our kind of water positive, zero waste and carbon negative goals, we still want to slow down that impact where we can, and make our data centers more efficient, and you make your workloads more efficient. Yes, it will have a knock-on effect that you'll most likely save money because you're using less resources, being a leaner organization. You can say to yourself, I'm doing the right thing today at work.
That's really right. Good.
Well, I love the fact that we have a great set of tools, so you can see where companies stand today, you know, how they can really be more sustainable. There's a number of solutions. So I love the fact that you are so in tune to this and really helping customers to see what's available for them.
Me too. I'm glad you brought this topic to us, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. No, seriously, we're really glad that you approached us about this one. It was incredible to have you on the show.
Thanks. Well, I'm glad I get to share it. I thought, perfect timing. With it being Earth Day coming up.
Hit us at the right time.
If people still want to learn more, as well as if you go to our Microsoft.com/sustainability, you will see everything that we do to do with sustainability. But a recent event that we just had was called This is AI for Sustainability. And that talked about all of our latest features and developments. It talks about carbon optimization, which I had today, as well as the sustainability data solutions in Fabric and some of the cool stuff you can do with Copilot for Microsoft Sustainability Manager, where, you know, where I was talking about those like confusing terms, Well, actually, imagine then having your sustainability co-pilot by your side, educating you on what those means. Or, in fact, I use Copilot after looking at Azure Carbon Optimization. I then said, right, write me a query to find all of my underutilized virtual machines. It writes me a KQL query. I could then go and run that. So that's really kind of like the next step on is using AI to really maximize and accelerate that impact that we had.
Yeah, that's all of amazing. That
on our website, our Microsoft Learn Path. We have the Green Software Foundation that we're a founding member of, which helps you actually code in as efficient way as possible. And there's loads of LinkedIn Learning courses as well that you can explore.
Cool. Make Lots sure we drop stuff. That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There is. So make sure we drop that stuff in the comments, you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a challenge for everyone then listening that after this podcast, they go and find the person who looks after their Azure portal, goes to Carbon Optimization and takes a look at this and see what they can do.
I love it. You have a call to action.
Yeah. Go do this next.
Yeah, that's right.
We never leave people with a call to action. That's perfect. Oh, I like it. Well, this has been great again.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for bringing the topic to us. I just appreciate your passion for it too.